Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
The Bulls are in the win column, beating the Charlotte Hornets 112-110. It was an entertaining game. We enjoyed every second of it. Brought it to you on NBC Sports Chicago. Welcome in to the Bulls Talk Podcast. I'm Mark Schanowski, joined by my partners on the pre- and post-game shows, Kendall Gill and Will Perdue. And guys, as a testament to their perseverance, sticking with it even though they were shorthanded, Zach LaVine, he wants to be known as a guy that can affect winning. And yeah, he made the play that got them the win.
Yeah, he grew up. Last weekend against the Detroit Pistons, he missed the the attempt off, but he took a three-point shot and the ball slipped out of his hand when he should have taken the ball to the basket, having the bigger man on him. Today he did the same thing against a smaller man, but had the opportunity to correct himself, taking the basketball to the basket the very next play. And you're seeing his maturity as a scorer and as a go-to guy. I thought we saw a lot of him tonight, a lot of growing up from him tonight.
And it's just, as every game you see something different. And probably the biggest thing that stands out is his aggressiveness, as far as he does not hesitate to attack the rim. He identifies a defender and then looks to attack off the dribble. If it's a bigger guy, he goes right at him. If it's a smaller guy, he gets him starting to move laterally and then crosses him over. An unbelievable highlight dunk tonight. And, you know, when he's not hitting his shots, like tonight against Charlotte, 1 of 5 from behind the arc, less than 50% for the first game from the field. But yet he's attacking the rim and getting to the free throw line, 11 of 12. He is scoring from all facets of the game.
People saw him in his second year, his third year before he got hurt at Minnesota, feeling like he was a future star. And then he suffered the ACL injury, had some uneven performances in the 24 games he played last season. All of a sudden, people were ready to write him off.
Yeah.
And I found that kind of baffling, that a guy that had showed that much pre-ACL injury, all of a sudden they thought at age 23, you know, he didn't have the potential to come back. And he's showing what hard work can do for you, because he worked hard in the Seattle area all summer, making sure his body was right, his game was sharp, and he's showing it early in the year.
Well, you know, when people hear ACL injury, they think, oh, he's never going to be the same again.
They think about Derrick Rose.
They think about Derrick Rose. Yeah. You know, and even though Derrick is having a very good season so far and is still explosive, they categorize an ACL injury with, you don't have any more athleticism. Well, this is one of the most athletic guys probably to ever play in the NBA, the way that he can get to the basket, the way that he can jump. And they didn't realize he tore his ACL when he was, what, 21?
Mm-hmm.
21 years old, he's still a young pup, you know, and he has time and youth on his side to come back and recover from that ACL injury.
So, and he's been scoring efficiently. Yeah. It's not like he's taken 30 shots to get his 30 points.
Yeah, he really hasn't. And, you know, he's done a really nice job of doing it within, I guess you could say, within the offense. There's been times where he's come down and just dribbled right to the three-point line and knocked down a contested three. But he's shown the confidence that he has. But I wanted to throw this to Kendall. As we talked about, he was probably known more for his athleticism than anything.
Yeah.
And he was probably just doing a lot of things from an athletic standpoint because of the fact he could jump over guys or because of how quick he was. But to me, you even now that he's been hurt and probably the amount of film that he's watched, the amount of games that he's watched and hasn't been able to play, it's been great to see how he's expanded his game. And I'd be interested to get the comment from Kendall, just going from your first year to your third year, how differently you were offensively compared to how you've seen the growth of Zach LaVine.
Oh, you know, you're a lot different because now you know what it takes to score. You know, and Zach has more stuff than I had as far as off of the dribble. You know how he can get to the lane. He's, in my opinion, he's one of the best ball handlers at that position in the league. Maybe the best ball handler at the two guard position in the league. The way that he can get to areas when he wants to. So I'm sure that he's learned a lot. Also, and now he's learning when and where to take his shots. I mean, now a big reason why he grew today is because he learned, okay, I cannot pull up and just take this jump shot when the game is on the line. One, because if I take the ball to the basket, now I am getting the respect that most elite scorers get, that I am going to get the benefit of the doubt when I go to the hole. I am going to get the whistle if I go there strong, or I'm going to get the layup.
Your Bulls, your way, anywhere, anytime. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Stream games and get the best Bulls coverage in Chicago at your fingertips. Download the My Teams app today.
One of our main storylines in the pregame show, we're talking about what are the Bulls going to do at point guard. You know, Chris Dunn made his season debut in Dallas Monday night, and unfortunately, he sprained an MCL. He's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, and we were wondering, what are they going to do? You know, they signed Shaq Harrison to a 2-year contract. Tyler Ulis, who had started 58 games for the Phoenix Suns, was signed to a 2-way contract. He's currently in training camp with the Windy City Bulls, and we were thinking, well, Fred's probably going to try all of these guys and try to figure out what's going to work. But he has a ton of confidence in Ryan Arcidiacono as a backup, and Cameron Payne probably played his best game as a pro in the win over Charlotte.
Yeah, and listen, I'm starting to believe that Zach LaVine is the best point guard on this team.
Yeah, and he handled that most of the game.
And he handled the basketball most of the game. Maybe you play Cameron Payne off of the ball. Maybe you play Archie off of the ball. Or even Chris Dunn, when he eventually comes back, you let Zach LaVine be the primary ball handler and let the other guys feed off of him. And I said this the other day to you guys. I didn't say this on camera, but I'm starting to see where Zach LaVine could possibly have a Russell Westbrook type of game and effect on his team, where he handles the basketball most of the time and he's doing most of the scoring.
Because he can overpower smaller defenders. He just goes right over the top of them.
And bigger ones, too. He did that to Michael Kidd-Gilchrist a number of times tonight, where he went right into the basket.
You know, the interesting thing is, we know it's all about analytics. And what did Mark talk about in the pregame show? That Mark Strotman went and found the numbers that on spot-up jumpers, Cameron Payne is shooting 40%.
I think it's even higher than that. It's almost like 44.
Okay, 44. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you know that Fred Hoiberg knows those numbers. You know he knows that. So he feels like his best offense, even though Cameron is starting in the point guard role, put the ball in the hands of Zach LaVine, put Cameron Payne and everybody else out on the perimeter, open up that middle, and look, Zach attack. Now, listen, it's all not roses. One of the things that Zach needs to do is do a little better job with his passing. I think basically now in the four games, he's got a 1-to-1 assist-to-turnover ratio. But that will get better as he has the ball in his hands more and he starts to watch more film. And as you know, you probably occasionally were pushed over to the point guard role for whatever reason.
Yeah, a lot.
And you start to read the game and you actually start to see the game. And I remember, and I'm not comparing him to LeBron James, but I remember LeBron James. I remember Michael Jordan. I remember other great players. They started talking about how when the game started to slow down and they were able to see plays and see cuts before they actually happened.
Right.
So you can actually lead guys into passes instead of passing it to them where they are now, passing it to where they're going.
Yeah, the one down note from the game, Bobby Portis went out with an injury. Initially, we thought he might have rolled his ankle. Campaign rolled his ankle in the third quarter, but he was able to come back and make some winning plays as the Bulls got the victory. But Portis had some contact when underneath the basket. I don't know if it was an elbow to the knee or a knee to the knee, but he went off the court in a lot of pain, and the Bulls are going to do an MRI on the knee on Thursday, and they'll find out exactly what's going on there. So, you know, with all the injuries they've had, as we're taping this, we don't know exactly what the outcome of that's going to be, but we're hoping that Bobby's not going to miss any substantial time because he is the emotional leader of this team. I hesitate to think how this might affect the team if he's going to be out for a long time.
Yeah, it would affect the team big time because, as you said, he is the emotional leader. He's the guy that gets them fired up. And he perhaps may be one of the hardest workers on the team. And then when you lose that, you lose some of your identity. And I think that Zach LaVine is getting that now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Bobby's right now is still the heart and soul of the team.
You know, one of the things is, as you talked about, because of the energy that he brings, and he also he has a voice. It's not just his emotions.
Yeah.
And, you know, his you know, how he speaks with his body. You know, you hear about there's nonverbal communication, which we all know he's really good at because you have no problem reading his body language.
Right.
But
he's
also
talking to himself on the court. He's firing himself up, and he kind of feeds the other
but
guys.
But the other guys feed off that.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if let's say this is fairly minor. Maybe he misses a game or he doesn't miss any time at all. At what point, and Kendall, again, back to you, does he go to Fred Hoiberg and say, hey, I want to go back to coming off the bench? Listen, his effort has still been outstanding. He's rebounding the basketball. He's finding ways to have positive impacts, an impressive dunk. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, his shooting, he is struggling to shoot. He's not shooting like he did in the preseason. He's not shooting like we saw in practice that day.
Right.
And I don't know, I wonder if he's putting a little too much pressure on himself to score because he's in that starting lineup.
Yeah, and you know, he's used to being the main focal point of the offense in when he comes off of the bench. So, as a starter, he's not the main focal point. You know, you got a couple guys ahead of him. But my question is this. With Lauri Markkanen out, who do you put in that position?
Jabari Parker. Yeah,
and who's – but where does he flourish as the primary ball handler with the second unit?
Right. Well, then Chandler Hutchinson probably does that.
Well, I mean, and that's the other thing. We haven't even talked about him, but you know what? He got some valuable minutes in the Mavs game, mm-hmm. showed moments where he played well.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought tonight, you know, we can talk about the fantastic dunk, but I thought tonight was when he really showed us what he can do defensively and also 8 points on the offensive end.
He did.
So all of a sudden, you know, I remember talking to the coaches, they mentioned that, you know, that, hey, this young kid's a little green, he's got some growing to do.
Uh-huh.
But because of the injuries, they've had to put him in spot minutes.
Yeah, if Bobby's out for a while, you're going to see more Hutchinson. He may play some four because he's 6'7", 6'8", athletic. He can match up against especially guys in the second unit.
But then again, does that not fit right into how Fred really would like to play the game?
Fast.
Smaller, quicker, faster guys shooting. You know, the interesting thing is, I mean, what are the Bulls shooting from three? It's not a very good percentage. And surprisingly, everybody else is jacking up threes, and the Bulls have not been.
Campaign was hitting them on.
Well, Campaign was tonight.
The Hornets with 7 of 11 from 3-point range.
Yeah, so that'll increase your percentage.
Yeah, no question about it.
So.
Yeah, but now if Bobby is out for a significant amount of time, and you don't want to make any changes as far as moving Jabari into the starting lineup. Could you move Wendell Carter Jr. to the four and bring Robin Lopez in at the five? Could Fred's system play like that?
Well, I think right now at 19 years old, I think they want him to focus on one position, and
yeah.
that's center, because he's a good rim protector. Right now his offensive game is a little underdeveloped.
Yeah.
I don't know if they want to get him way out on the perimeter, you know, guarding quicker fours.
Yeah.
Like getting some foul trouble there. So.
But he can't guard him because he showed today that he can guard guys on the perimeter. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't have any problem with him defensively in that position.
Well, let's hope everything's fine with Bobby.
Yeah.
And he's back and ready to go Friday in Charlotte. You're listening to the Bulls Talk Podcast. Mark Schanowski, Kendall Gill, Will Perdue with you. I want to ask you guys about something that I heard about after the fact. You guys played a media game at the Advocacy.
Yeah, we did.
You were matched up with Randy Brown.
Did
that get intense out there?
It got a little intense out there. We started talking after the first game or so, you know, and you know, Michael Reinsdorf was talking smack. I didn't know he talked smack like that, but he did, you know. And
Joe Cowley's making threes.
Joe Cowley made some threes, you know. But I almost traded him after the second game because, you know, because he missed a couple of shots that were game. You know, you know how you call game. And I gave up a shot to give him a better shot, and he missed a couple of them. So, I had him on the trade.
So, well, you didn't play, but you could have.
I could have, but I didn't.
You didn't have your stuff?
I didn't have the proper gear.
You didn't have his trainer to stretch him up?
No.
And then when I saw – When I saw Bill Whittington, wearing the Schmedium, I was like, nah. let me give you my opinion from the sidelines.
All right. You give us the scouting report.
So I was actually filming it.
Yeah.
And I kept waiting for Kendall to shoot, but he kept passing.
Really? That's not like KG.
I was trying
to get everybody involved earlier.
I was trying to voice it over.
Zach LaVine.
But yeah. As he talked about, every time he passed it, the guys wouldn't make the shot.
They wouldn't make it.
And then he made a couple shots, what I missed, and I actually sent those into Bulldog, but he said it was kind of grainy. I was like, well, it came from an iPhone.
Expect, yeah.
I wasn't on the floor. But probably the best moment was two things. Michael Reinsdorf would drive right down the paint, and it would part like the Red Sea.
And he's president and COO.
Nobody would want to foul him.
Who was the one guy that finally said enough of this and went in and blocked his shot? Kendall.
Did you really?
Yeah.
He came
no
in,
super
I said he came in from the backside and blocked it, and Michael was like so surprised. Yeah. How dare you? They went the other way, and then Michael.
It wasn't like a red carpet right down the lane for him to go and score?
Oh, man. Oh, literally, man. It was like guys just – I mean, I was –
the parting of the seas.
Oh, unbelievable. I was waiting for the soldiers from Buckingham Palace.
Yeah.
But – Michael picked the team, so he picked a lot of guys, like you said, Randy Brown. What was the video guy's
video
name?
Video coordinator.
But he could shoot, though.
He played at Lake Forest. This dude could automatically shoot. Knew what he had. So then it was the media guys against the Bulls squad.
Well, Michael told me they beat Kendall's team.
Well, they beat him three times straight.
No, twice. Two times straight.
No, three times.
No, it was
Will
two.
Will was scoring the game.
No, it was two times.
No, it was three times.
Well, I only played three games. Will.
No,
it was
you
two.
Played four. There were five total.
Damn, I'm in good shape if I don't remember then.
But then Kendall got mad.
Man, Will's breaking down the media scrimmages now.
That's right.
But I'm telling you why.
Man.
Because we get to the fourth game, and so, of course, Michael's like, hey, you guys want to run it back? Where are you guys going?
Don't quit now. He started talking smack.
So finally, all of a sudden, you see Kendall. It was kind of like the Karate Kid. He had on, Kendall all of a sudden tightened it. And then next thing you know, game point. Middle of the shot. Kendall goes, backboard, game, boom, boom. Game over.
Yep.
And then Mike
called bang, but I called game.
And then Michael Reinsdorf goes, all right, let's run it back. Kendall goes, no, I end on a win. <Bye-bye."
laughs> I wouldn't let him get an opportunity.
I'm surprised you were that competitive at the end.
Mark, because they were killing us, and my guys, I had who did I have on the squad?
Well, basically every media guy.
Every media guy. Yeah.
So you had Callie, had Darnell Mayberry.
Darnell
Mayberry didn't give me anything. I had to carry him.
You even had Bill Whittington.
Bill played okay once he got down
the final
block.
Game you won.
The final
but
game
the problem was
okay.
Kendall kept looking in, and guys that were coming out of the game together said, hey, you get me. No, you get me. No, you get me.
They were arguing about you get me.
Well, who's guarding the 7-foot Bill Whittington in the post?
Well, everybody was trying to guard him. Randy Brown, that's why we kept dumping the basketball down into him. And he showed he still had it a little bit.
Now, if you'd have said Chuck Swirsky was guarding him, then I'd know
No. Chuck.
But basically, they started off, it was Sean Respert was guarding him. But that was the thing, though. You think
Sean
about
played at Michigan State. He's a heck of a player.
So that was the thing. They had players. And honestly, the media guys, Bill kind of was just, he was playing early on to not get hurt.
Yeah,
of course.
He was trying to warm up.
Then that last game, he took, he started taking a few shots. But that's also when Kendall took it seriously. We got everybody going. And Joe Colley, man, he was so fiery. But then he had like a two-hand, what do you call himself, Joey Chitwood?
Yeah.
He finally knocked down a few shots.
He knocked down a three.
And then, but that's also when Kendall kind of took it serious.
The only bad thing is that Vinny Goodwill still wasn't on the
team. Oh, my God.
I
wish he could have been there. I totally wish he could. But, see, I didn't know Michael had the teams picked like that. I didn't know he had his guys against the media guys. The next time we play, which is supposed to be next month, I'm going to know this now. Okay? And actually, this is the first time that I played since July.
Right.
So I know those guys have been taking shots and everything, but now I'm going to have to go into training.
All right, so
they're not beating me anymore.
We hope you enjoy a little behind the scenes into what was going on at the Advocate Center.
Because Michael,
following shoot around
after we played, they invited us into the Bulls' kitchen.
Yeah, it was nice. They had
a nice little spread for us. Michael came over and sat with us and talked about, hey, we need to do this once a month.
Yeah,
very nice.
Yeah, Kendall looked at him and like, oh, I'm gonna eat your lunch. I can see it in Kendall's eyes.
But I gotta get Will to play with me next time.
Absolutely,
I'll play. We'll just run it off the high post, man.
That's right.
Well, good day all around. The guys had fun playing some hoops at the Advocate Center, and the Bulls get their first win of the year, 112-110 over the Charlotte Hornets. The rematch is going to be in Charlotte Friday night. It's an early start, 6 o'clock Central Time. We'll be on the air with Bulls pregame live at 5:30. You can catch us on NBC Sports Chicago and the My Teams app. Thanks for listening to the Bulls Talk podcast. You can also find links to all of our shows on the app as well. We will see you Friday night as the Bulls try to make it 2 straight over the Hornets. So long, everyone.